Should pick up everything nicely. And remember, if at any time you feel uncomfortable or you want to stop, we can stop. Okay, they're about.
Where's the pole? Maybe a time when I'm like.
This is an interview with Elton O'Neill in Durham, North Carolina. It is today's date, the 22nd. July 22nd, and we are at his school. The interview is Geraldine Patterson, and this is part of the Spencer Grants Project on School Desegregation in the South and will be used as part of the Southern Oral History Program at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. The tape number is 72204EO. Okay, Mr. O'Neill, can you tell me a little bit about how you came to be at Hillside? Were you a student? Did you work there?
I was a student there, probably into fall of 1966 and graduated June of 69.
Okay. So can you tell me a little bit about, I have a brief understanding what Hillside is like now, but what was it like to go to Hillside then? Talk to me about the teachers and kind of principals and other students. What was it like?
At the time I entered Hillside, John Lucas was the principal.
Okay.
Hillside was a school that probably had about 1,300 students,
okay,
if my memory serves me correctly. All of my life, I had been looking forward to Hillside High School.
And why is that?
Hillside is held in high regard,
okay,
by the black community here in Durham.
Why is that?
I think it had to do with several things. One, it provided students with a quality education.
Okay.
Did and still does, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It also, because of its proximity to Central,
okay,
was a natural bridge into Central.
Okay.
For those that were not successful at Hillside,
mm-hmm,
it still was held in high esteem.
Okay.
That Hillside pride was just something that was instilled from first grade on. Even now, at some point several years ago, they talked about changing the name. There was some talk.
I remember about that, changing the name.
And at that time, I said, all one needs to do is make, several of us need to make some telephone calls and get some of these movers and shakers that have come through Hillside. It won't happen.
And it didn't happen.
It didn't happen. No, yeah. But the band,
mm-hmm,
I think, is a factor, because if you look at the Christmas parade,
mm-hmm,
when that band comes through, there's a wave with it.
Mm-hmm.
It had many features that just attracted the black community.
Okay,
the band,
so the band, and then it was a bridge to Central.
Uh-huh.
And
it was a social, I guess it had many. Back in the 40s and the 50s,
mm-hmm,
it had many social outings. The kids would go out and there were picnics,
mm-hmm,
and family outings directly associated with
the school.
Hillside. Mm-hmm. Class reunions now, big time. My 35th is coming up September the 10th.
Okay.
And
it's a big deal.
Big deal. My high school class, 69,
mm-hmm,
we all had a 50th birthday anniversary.
Really?
Over 100 of us.
Wow.
Got together. John Gaddis and some of the teachers there, when you enrolled as a freshman, you were then thoroughly indoctrinated with the Hillside spirit.
Okay. How did they do that?
I think we went in for assembly.
Okay.
The freshmen were in the balcony,
mm-hmm,
of the old building.
Mm-hmm.
Sophomores sat at the back of the main floor, which was the first level.
Mm-hmm.
Juniors about halfway, mid part of
mm-hmm
the bottom floor, and the seniors up front. And we'd have these pep rallies.
Okay.
Wonderful.
So the band played probably at the
band
farewell.
Played. Oh, it was a wonderful
thing. Mr. Lucas talked. Okay.
It wasn't as much Mr. Lucas as it was an assistant principal.
Okay.
Prof Austin.
Prof Austin?
Mr. F. Howard Austin.
F. Howard Austin. I think I've seen his picture in the yearbook.
He was the man.
He was the man?
He was the man. Much that I do, I model after
okay.
him.
And how was he the man?
He practically ruled the school.
Okay.
With his what I call a soul train.
Okay.
He would get guys out of classes that had been sent out of classes, mm-hmm. and rather than having you sit in his office until he could process you, he was out and about in the school. You followed him
mm-hmm.
in
like
his
you,
soul train.
I remember students doing that with
follow
you.
Follow that. Follow that soul train.
Right.
Go in the class. You wait out here.
Mm-hmm.
If I hear peep out of you, that adds to your consequences.
Okay.
He had it locked down. And people had high respect for him.
Mm.
Desegregation at Hillside, I was not there then, okay. I understand, went smoothly
okay.
Because he
was there.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Lucas was the principal,
mm-hmm.
but Mr. F. Howard Austin was the main.
So when you were there, even though Brown, 1954, had already taken place, they had made the decision to integrate schools, there were no white students when you were there?
Not one.
Did y'all
there
expect
was some white,
white
teachers
students?
There.
Oh, there were white teachers there?
There were white teachers
okay.
there, but there were no blacks, no white students.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Were y'all thinking white students would come at some point?
I'm not sure that was even discussed.
Okay.
It just hadn't happened and nobody was pushing.
Okay.
And it didn't get pushed until I think 2 years later. My
okay.
brother got caught in that.
Okay. Okay. So F. Howard Austin was the man. We had these pep rallies.
Yes.
We had these social events.
Uh-huh.
It was bi-central. At the assemblies, you kind of learned, indoctrinated into
uh-huh.
what Hillside was and got the pride. Tell me about some of the other teachers. What was it like to be in classes at Hillside?
Now, you were expected to do
okay.
the stuff that was presented to you,
okay.
the assignments. You just didn't go in there and sit in there and spin your wheels and twiddle your thumb.
Okay.
That was unacceptable.
Okay.
They didn't mind marching you about it. Well, you either performed or you knew you needed to leave.
Okay.
All of the students that I had engaged me personally.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that they knew me, knew my name.
Did they know your parents?
Many of them did,
because
my mother was a Hillside graduate.
Okay,
came
wow.
out when it was only 11 grades.
Okay,
so you know, I think a part of the reason why it had such an appeal is because it was the only black school in town.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody went there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was a probably a big social event
mm-hmm.
on a daily basis. These kids coming from Walltown, Hickstown. West End was where I lived,
mm-hmm.
the Bottom,
mm-hmm.
Hayti,
mm-hmm.
Pearson Town,
okay.
all of that on one campus.
Okay. How did people get to school?
Bus.
The city bus.
City bus.
Okay.
They had a special bus that would take me from the West End.
Okay.
They would pull it off its regular route,
uh-huh.
pick us up on the West End, take us to school, and then go back to its regular route, and then come back, pick us up in the afternoon, and take us back.
Okay. So that was for your neighborhood, and they did that for other neighborhoods
other
too?
Other neighborhoods, North Durham,
Kingstown, okay.
Walltown.
Mm-hmm. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so the teachers had these high expectations.
High expectations.
What happened if you didn't meet them?
You probably dropped out.
Hmm. Okay.
There were no remedial courses. It was one shot. you did it or you didn't.
Do it or get out.
That's it. No, do it all. You walk now.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
And that behavioral discipline problem
mm-hmm.
didn't happen. You know, Mr. Austin walking those halls.
Hmm. That's really interesting.
Had locked down 1,300 children. Locked down. We'd have fights. That kind of, but in terms of orderliness,
mm-hmm.
it was locked.
That's really interesting. With 1,300 students,
1,300
that you didn't have a lot of discipline
problems.
From
all parts of town.
So even in classes, you wouldn't have a lot of discipline problems. The teachers didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like the teachers tried to teach you Did they try to teach you anything special because you were black students? Did you feel like you kept hearing certain messages over from your teachers?
I think we got a good dose of, if it was an English 3 class, mm-hmm. a good dose of whatever at that time the curriculum was.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So they had high standards. The mm-hmm. curriculum was on mm-hmm. point, and mm-hmm. they took care of business.
That's exactly right.
So, all right. I think I got a sense of Hillside, and I'll probably go back okay. to that a little bit. What, and I know a little bit about Central because I went to Central. Mm-hmm. My mother went to Central, right. So I got a sense of the history. Mm-hmm. But can you tell me a little bit more what it was like to really just grow up in Durham during this time period? Because what I've read is that Durham was really kind of separate. That all the black kids went to Hillside, all the white kids went to their high mm-hmm. school, and there wasn't a whole bunch of...
There was no bleeding across the lines.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. About, let's see, I went to a small elementary school.
Okay.
First grade, and I had to stay there through seventh.
Mm-hmm.
Had to stay there through seventh because the all-black junior high school, and the only black junior high school, was full.
Okay.
They were building a new one, Shepherd.
Shepherd, okay.
The one that I attended was Whitted, which is where Operation Breakthrough's headquarters
uh-huh.
are. So I had to stay in Lyon Park, which is now a community center.
Mm-hmm.
I had to stay there through seventh grade because they had not yet completed Shepherd.
Okay.
So I stayed there grades 1 through 7. There were probably in that school 3 sections per grade level.
Okay.
Got a good background. Mm-hmm. My elementary educational experience was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I had, at that time, the principal had students stay with the teachers, or with our teacher. We stayed with our first grade teacher, first, second, and third grade.
Oh, so you established a really strong bond.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then fourth and fifth, I had the same teacher, but a new principal came on board. Mm-hmm. Now fourth grade, I was going to have the same teacher, fourth, fifth, and sixth, but a new principal came
okay.
to Lyon Park, and so I ended up having a different teacher in fifth grade, but somehow luck had it that I ended up with the teacher in sixth grade that I had in fourth grade,
okay.
who was F. Howard Alston's wife.
Oh. So he knew about you.
Oh, before I got there. Yeah, so I knew I couldn't go over there. And I want to talk a little bit about him a little later.
Okay.
He had this way of, let me do the school bit. I then went to Whitted,
okay.
which was an all-black junior high at that okay. time, that probably had over 1,000 kids.
Okay.
Loaded. Even okay. after they built Shepherd, it was still loaded.
And was it all, it was all black, Whitted?
Both of them, okay. all-black. But Shepherd, I think, only had, if I make no mistake, I remember somebody saying about 400 or 500 students.
Okay.
Because it's a small school. If you look at it now, it yeah. is even small when you yeah. compare it to other middle schools.
You're right.
But had a wonderful experience there. Good teachers, excellent
mm-hmm.
teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And then went on into Hillside.
Okay.
Got to Hillside, ninth grader. At that time it was 9-12.
Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't. I was at Whitted's 8 and 9.
Okay.
Hillside was 10-12.
Okay.
10-12. Hit there in 10th grade. And we were, had alphabetized homes, pretty much like they do now.
Mm-hmm.
And so you stayed with that group
the whole time.
Through. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a plus. Because
mm-hmm.
we pump each other up and you come in the morning, you just had a wonderful experience. Prof. Austin knew practically every child in that school, unless they were new to Durham.
1,300
he
kids?
He knew most of the children in that school.
Okay.
Because their parents, he would tell you, I know your mama, I know your grandma. He was a Durham product.
Okay.
Having been reared in the bottom.
Oh, okay. Where is the bottom?
The bottom right now, Miss Patterson, is the Durham Bulls Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
You know where that is?
Mm-hmm. The new one or the old one?
The new one.
Uh-huh.
That right there where the American Tobacco Company, from there probably back to Forest Hill Shopping Center,
okay.
which is a little small strip mall, all of that was the bottom.
Okay. okay.
From there over to Mount Zion Baptist Church.
Okay.
Mount Zion Methodist mm-hmm. Church. That was the bottom. My mother was reared in the bottom.
Okay. Okay.
So he knew my mother.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he used to pay one of my mother's sisters to iron his shirts.
He's a first class guy. Yeah.
He was connected. But most of the children are people that you will probably engage during that time frame mm-hmm. will tell you he was the man.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Except maybe the early to mid 50s.
Okay.
I'm thinking he may have hit there about 60-ish, but he was in charge. Would walk into any class
mm-hmm.
and could carry on the instruction.
Oh, really?
French, chemistry, parlez-vous français?
Very deep cool. Voice,
and was an eloquent speaker, mm-hmm. polished man. Only drawback was he was a captain. When he found out he paid, I went by there later at that place again. He just misguided and misdirected. I didn't get to you. But he was a wonderful person. He, again, it's going to be interesting. I want to talk with you after you've interviewed.
Okay.
I want to know how many times that name comes up.
Okay.
Because I would venture to say, since I'm on the front end, mm-hmm. that practically everybody that came in, sixes and sevens, would tell you
he was
what made Hillside.
Okay. And you decided you wanted to be like him.
I liked his style.
Okay. Is that how you ended up in?
No, believe it or not. I went to Central as a business administration major.
Okay.
Drove a school bus to supplement my income. Mm-hmm. Fell in love with working with the children.
I can see that.
Fell in love with them. And just kind of went on from there. Had no idea that I'd end up teaching.
And running the school.
Hey.
Just like Mr. Austin.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But that stuff that he used. Then
uh-huh.
I use it now.
Dave.
Mm-hmm. That hey, come in.
So okay, kind of picking up on stuff that he did then. Can you tell me some other things that, kind of like at the time, what people thought was a good education for blacks? Since Hillside was the place to go and it was well respected, what were the elements that people thought made up for a good education for black kids?
If you learn to write fluent.
Okay.
If you learn to compute. To the point that you could take care of those basic survival mm. skills, such as being able to balance a checkbook. Hillside would, if the child behaved him or herself,
mm-hmm.
would engage that child and provide as much as they could for that child, you know, given that we didn't have EC
right.
at that time.
Right.
Now, I believe we were on the cutting edges of special ed.
Okay.
But the teachers at Hillside at the time would give you, in my opinion, quality instruction.
Okay.
I can remember in my typing class, I never thought I would type proficiently,
mm-hmm.
but Annie Cruz,
okay.
Her name. She knew my parents, and she was another one that knew everybody in the mall.
Mm-hmm.
She's, the first day of school, she showed us what the home row keys were.
Mm-hmm.
We had a speed test
mm-hmm.
every day. She'd come out with that daggone, she had a little ruler. She popped those knuckles if they weren't on the right. I mean, you did what she prescribed you do.
Okay. No
and
questions.
That made you successful.
Okay.
And I think that ran true for all of the classes.
Okay.
English. I did very well in Central, I think, mm-hmm. in writing because I had some teachers that made us write.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't up to speed, you got it back.
Mm-hmm.
And you did it until it was brought up to speed. And I think at that time, there was pride in your work.
Mm-hmm.
Students exhibited that quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Doing it, but doing it well. I actually went in not knowing that I was going to even go to college.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I was thinking. It didn't dawn on me until the end of my junior year that I thought I might be able to go to college. Yeah, you know, I just never thought of myself as a... I did very well through ninth grade, and then I kind of fell in with my boys mm-hmm. and, you know, got into that, nah, dang, it wasn't cool to... Mm-hmm. But it was unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
So my grades fell a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but not to the point where it would affect my having gone on college. But I did not take those college prep classes.
Okay.
I needed geometry, and what was it that I ended up having to take my senior year? Because I was in a class with a whole bunch of sophomores and freshmen.
Okay, you went back to take it.
So I had to go back. Well, okay. I ended up my senior year, I had enough credits to graduate, I think. Okay. Somehow I was able to, I think, get ahead. Because okay. I think only 18 units were required for graduation. I make no mistake. And so that meant that I could do 24. No, I could do 18. It may have been fewer than 18. But anyway, I ended up having to take a couple of freshman, sophomore level classes my senior year to be able to get government economics. That was it. Which we've now gone back to.
Okay.
Because, you know, for a while they had the ELPS. Mm-hmm. But now we're going back to, it's now economics and civics.
Okay.
And I had to have that to graduate. Let's see, what else can you buy it
on? How'd you decide about the college thing? Your parents or some teachers said,
Somebody probably, you know, I guess probably sitting around talking, somebody said, what are you going to do next year?
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you come out of Central, once you come out of Hillside. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I know I didn't want to go to work.
I think we all felt
that. Yeah, I didn't want to go to work. So I knew I couldn't stay at my parents' house and not do something.
Right.
You even going to school or...
Are you going to work?
Going to work.
Right.
So I didn't want to go to work. So I kind of made that quick shift in schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Went down to see, what was her name? Miss King of some, either King or Lawrence, Barbara Lawrence.
Okay.
And had my schedule changed and added those college prep classes. Mm-hmm. Took the SAT and did pretty well on mm-hmm. that. Decided going on. Some, I wanted to go to Canada, Hampton.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah. My cousin was there.
I wanted to go to Hampton too.
But when we looked at tuition, $2,600 versus probably $500 for the year.
Mm-hmm.
No way. And there right. were five children,
mm-hmm.
and I'm number two from the top.
Oh,
I won't have
no way.
We'll go to Central. We'll send you to Central.
Okay. Well, now your mom had gone to Hillside, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did your parents, were they still kind of, did they have any involvement with the school while you were there? Did the school
My mother's class.
In? Okay.
Uh-huh. In fact, she was class of 41.
Okay.
They just had a reunion not long ago. And picture that class reunion mm-hmm. thing, that's big business.
Tell me about the class reunion thing. Because I'm
there
not
There was
from
a class
there.
That has incorporated. If I make a mistake, the class of 60,
okay.
they have incorporated. They give scholarships.
Okay.
Class of 61, Levi Dawson, I'm not sure if he worked mm-hmm. downtown. I saw him yesterday. He had his Hillside class of 61 lanyard on.
Wow.
He wears his ID on his lanyard.
So you all really stay in touch and have activities throughout the
week? I got email this week from Gloria Thorpe Doyle, who teaches at Hillside.
Okay.
There is an all-class alumni reunion okay. planned for this weekend.
Really?
I think it's this weekend.
Okay. Okay.
Uh-huh. Where all of the classes will come together.
Okay.
There have been years a move afoot to try to establish an alumni association.
Okay.
It has not gotten to the level where they want. I think this is another effort to get that up and going.
Okay.
Because there are a lot of dollars out there.
Well, yeah.
So we sat down and calculated that if you took a look at, if 300 kids came out of Hillside each year for the last 40 years,
mm-hmm.
that's all.
Big
pool of folks.
That is.
Big pool. My class was the largest class ever.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Like we had 430 plus.
Yeah, that's a big class.
And the reason for that, classes typically ran 350 to 400.
Okay.
But the reason for that was because they had just implemented what they call the co-op school. That
okay.
was for girls who got pregnant.
Okay.
They came over and marched with us.
Oh,
so
okay.
So they were included in our graduation.
Okay. Numbers. All right. So yeah. that's why your class got bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I might have to learn more about this
yeah.
alum. Because, I mean, I don't know
it's
of any
strong.
Other black high school in the anywhere.
Right. But people
that has,
come back from across the nation.
Like it's a college.
It's exactly right. Uh-huh. Exactly.
It's so bad.
It probably does better than Central in terms of numbers
okay.
of graduates coming back.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm going to continue to learn as I talk to people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm talking to people like I know some people from the class 1964, and kind of talking to people in between there, and they still seem so connected with their.
Oh, they are. They
I don't know hardly anybody from my class. Of high school.
Now, you were in a
I was in an integrated high school. I went to Broughton High School
in
Raleigh. And there were probably 800 of us that graduated. Uh-huh. And I could probably tell you five that I still talk to.
Gotcha.
And this was our 10-year. Uh-huh. And, no, 20. Oh, is that right? 15-year.
And I bet you I can reel off 100.
That's incredible.
That I see probably once or twice a year.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. I couldn't imagine it. So while you were there, let's kind of touch on the whole integration thing.
Okay.
While you were there, did your family or the people around you, your friends, was there any sense about, oh, Hillside's going to get integrated, we're going to have more resources? There was really no?
There was no talk about that when I was at Hillside.
Okay, all right.
And that again was 66 through 69. In fact, while I was there, the Black Power movement was afoot.
Okay.
In fact, one of the more prominent memories that I have is the day Martin Luther King died, or the day after Martin Luther King died. I was, I think, a junior.
Okay.
He died on a Thursday night.
Okay.
We went to school that Friday, and I was sitting in class, and all of a sudden we heard this commotion out in the hallway. And what essentially was happening was that there was a protest being formed. People were just angry that this had happened.
Right.
So all the kids marched out of school. I fell right in behind them. And I think they had a peaceful march downtown to City Hall or someplace like that. Okay. I didn't go. I went off and played basketball. But I didn't.
You didn't make it to City Hall.
I didn't make it to City Hall.
Made it to the basketball court.
Made it to the basketball court. Yeah. But they were real upset.
Okay.
In fact, that night there was rioting throughout the city. City was put on curfew. In fact, it may have started that night that it happened.
Okay.
No, it didn't. It started that Friday night.
Okay.
But city was on lockdown.
Okay.
And stayed locked down for 3-4 days.
No real talk about Hillside being integrated. Nobody was thinking, okay, we're going to have white kids any day.
That was probably the extent of integration.
How did the white teachers get that? Did they choose to come to work at Hillside because they had Hillside?
Yeah, and they did pretty well. I had, let's see, during my tenure at Hillside, I can tell you just about my schedule. In the 10th grade, I had Ms. Totten for English. I had general math class under Coach Easterling, who was the basketball coach. I had IV, Introduction to Vocations. I had science. I had Ms. Burgess for biology. And then social studies, Mr. Perry, for history. So I didn't have any white teachers by sophomore year. My junior year, I had a Mrs. Kunstler for U.S. history. English teacher with Ms. Corbett. I think I had a math.
Ms. Corbett that lives in Durham now? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
She goes to our church, I think.
Uh-huh.
Holy Cross Catholic Church. I think she goes there.
Just recently lost a daughter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
She taught me 11th grade
English. Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then my senior year, I don't think I had any white teachers.
What they seem to do,
they seem to do pretty well, and I think kids were respectful.
Okay, and they had the same high expectations that so that was just the Hillside way. That was kind of a way of being.
Again, you had this man walking through the hall on a regular basis, cleaning it up. Marshall. And then the dean of students, female. He was called the dean of students at that time.
Okay.
I'm not sure that he was even called the principal.
Okay.
Or was he called an assistant principal? I think he was dean of boys.
Okay. I think dean I saw
of boys
him in
slash AP.
Okay. I saw him in the yearbook as dean of boys.
Okay.
But I don't know what year the yearbook was.
Uh huh.
Okay.
But he had an iron hand.
And so you had him, and you had some white teachers, and you had these black teachers, and no talk about white students coming at all. Okay, so I got the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's something special that Hillside did that has now been kind of lost since most schools are integrated now?
Pride.
Okay.
It was a pillar in the black community. You went there to refine yourself.
And you don't think other schools are really doing that anymore? You think that's because schools are, there aren't community neighborhood schools anymore?
Hillside was the school where everybody went.
Okay.
There was pride in my elementary school. Because mm-hmm. all the neighborhood kids went there.
Mm-hmm.
With it, a little different story, because when you got that middle school kid, you know, they're not attached to anything.
Yeah.
But Hillside, I've always contended that by the ninth grade, those that are going to do well are on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
Those that aren't, they're moving toward the front door.
Okay.
It's unfortunate.
Okay.
But
so just that sense of pride in your school and in your work and how you relate with your teachers and the expectation that you're going to go on and do some other things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I think I got that. How about, do you think that there was anything that, I guess, black kids or students in general gained from schools being integrated? Even though Hillside wasn't really, from what I understand, Hillside had its first integrated class in 1971.
71, I think.
Okay, 71.
I may be wrong. Because I think 70, Talita Cruz was in that class. We were talking about that not very long ago. She had an all-black class.
Okay.
I think 71. I'm almost sure 71 because my brother got caught up in desegregation.
Okay.
He went to Hillside his sophomore and junior year.
Okay.
Which would have been my junior and senior year.
Okay.
He got shifted to Durham High School.
Okay. Because Durham High was the white high school, right?
Exactly.
Were there only two in Durham?
Two schools.
Hillside and Durham High.
In the former city schools.
Okay.
At that time, there were two different school systems.
Oh,
that's
right.
Durham County.
And Durham City.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So this was all before the merger.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay. So do you think that schools have lost anything from being integrated? Or have they gained stuff from being integrated, or both?
I think it's a combination of the two.
Okay.
One, I think with black children,
mm-hmm.
that they have lost that sense of pride. They don't readily respond to a Jordan and a Northern and a Southern the way that we responded to Hillside.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
Again,
just the community.
That was on your lips. That was on the lips of people that you engaged from the first, you know, from people who began to talk about school.
Right.
Hillside.
So no sense of history with these other schools. Family history,
right.
Community history.
Right. That was the white school.
Okay. All right, so we lost that.
Lost that. Now, in terms of academics, I think now there are more opportunities for students because of more opportunities to address the individual learning styles of students.
Okay.
Everybody back at that time it was one shot.
Okay.
And everybody got this broad shot.
Okay.
You didn't get it, shame on.
And so that's something that we have gained, is that black kids have more opportunities to kind of get specialized instruction, those types of things.
I think a negative for us here in Durham with some of our black males is because they're not doing well academically,
mm-hmm.
they're not able to participate. One of the one of the magnets for black males typically athletics,
mm-hmm.
the opportunity to participate in athletics. That's not always the case if your grades aren't up to speed.
Okay.
Those rigorous academic standards
would
shoot you down. You won't get to play. Whereas back at that time, there were no academic standards.
Mm-hmm.
Or they were minimal.
Okay. So they're not able to participate in extracurricular activities because of athletics. Why do you think the academic performance seems to have decreased?
That's an excellent question.
If you have the answer, we could probably make a lot of money.
Big time. I think it has to do with the breakdown of the family unit.
Okay. All right.
When I came through, the majority of the kids that were in my elementary school had one or two working parents.
Mm-hmm.
I've been saying kind of 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
But very rare was it the child who lived with grandmother or lived in a group home. That was just unheard of, at that time. But that's pretty prevalent these days, this day and age. One of the things this is probably interesting, and I just thought about it. There were some kids who were in elementary school with me that were given the opportunity to go to Durham High.
Okay.
Because one of the kids who went was an OBGYN guy here, Ira Smith.
Okay.
Dr. Ira Smith, he's an OBGYN. OBGYN.
Okay.
He and I are real tight now.
Okay.
We were in first grade through seventh grade together.
Mm-hmm.
He elected to go to Carr.
Okay.
Junior high, which was an all white, practically all white school at the time, went on to Durham High.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought about that.
But okay.
So black kids did go to some schools. Some of them did.
And that was because of integration. They could elect to go if they
could
chose to.
Right, but none elected to come to Hillside.
All right.
Yeah, that opportunity was there, as I think about it.
Okay. What else do you think is important for people like me who didn't grow up during this time period, don't know a lot about DSEG, what it was like to go to an all-black school, except from talking to other people and reading books? Mm-hmm. What else do you think, what do you think we need to learn from
those experiences, the experiences that folks had at the time?
Mm-hmm.
One, students will respond to behavioral constraints.
Okay.
Again, Prof. Austin ruled that school.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't take security officers, like we have in many of our schools. It didn't take, we only had one AP.
1,300 kids.
But one AP when I came through. Okay. My memory serves me correct.
Mm-hmm.
They respond
to
the discipline code.
Okay.
We dressed appropriately.
Okay.
You didn't come in there wearing.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a sense of pride.
Okay.
There were senior superlatives.
Okay.
And most of the kids jockeyed to be one of those senior superlatives.
Okay.
One of those with best dress.
Okay.
Best looking, most ambitious. Oh, that was a big thing. Being on the Chronicle staff, which was the school newspaper, was a big thing. Being involved in Mr. G's Swing School. That was a musical production.
Okay.
Where he would have a screening and kids, I guess, what's the term they use when you try out for
audition.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was big time.
Okay.
Back then. And of course, playing on one of the athletic teams. Oh boy, you were in high cotton, you got on one of those athletic teams.
Who did y'all play against?
At that time, Ligon.
Oh, and Raleigh. Yeah, I know all about Ligon. Okay.
Ligon, that was a rival. That was that was our arch rival.
Okay.
Ligon.
Okay.
Yeah. Played school from Goldsboro, which was Dillard, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then we played, maybe played Lincoln over in Tampa, but that was a much smaller school.
Okay. So other blacks,
other
segregated schools in the area, y'all would get together.
I don't think Durham High and Hillside played until probably the 70s.
Wow. Okay.
Merritt Moore.
Merritt Moore.
Which was the county. It wasn't a high school. Mm-hmm. It was a union school.
Okay.
Because they had K through 12. Oh. Played Little River. I don't think we played them. May have played Merritt Moore in basketball, football. But they eventually phased out football because of numbers. But we played Merritt Moore and Little River in basketball.
Okay. Okay. All right. Let me make sure I get it down, because okay. I think this is important. Some of the stuff that you're telling me that you think is important for my generation and beyond right. to know about uh-huh. what was going on with school desegregation is that students do respond to behavioral constraints, discipline, mm-hmm. without all these extras that we put in, right. as long as they're in place.
Exactly.
The dress code was very important. Mm-hmm. Are there other things I need to know?
Parents were involved.
Okay.
Intimate.
Okay.
In the going-ons at Hillside. Mm-hmm. Very intimately involved.
Why do you think parents felt so welcome? Because it seems like sometimes in schools now, parents don't always feel as welcome to come in. They're not as involved. And that may be because they're busy and working jobs and those types of things.
And maybe the race thing. Like
okay.
They could come in and sit in around a room of all blacks.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, that could be a thing.
And it sounds like they probably knew most of the people there. Because it was
they had come up. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think schools can do better to help educate black students? You talked about some of the things that was kind of lost, mm-hmm. And some of the things that Hillside did well, that they instilled a sense of pride and strong in academics, mm-hmm. and the teachers engaged you personally, mm-hmm. and they seem to have concern about your future progress. Mm-hmm. What do you think schools now, that are integrated now, can do better to educate black students?
We've got to zero in on that black man.
Okay.
That's floundering. Mm-hmm. I think what we've got to do, and we try to do it here, is find out what's going on.
Okay.
Try to get that child to a higher level in his thinking. Mm-hmm. Such that he has some pride in himself and then the work he needs to produce.
Okay.
Help him to understand that what you're doing now is detrimental. Mm-hmm. That is not going to get you any place.
Right.
Nobody's afraid of you.
Right.
You're going to follow the rules or you're going out the door. We don't want to do that.
Right.
But what we've got to do is embrace some of these kids on an individual basis.
Okay.
And do some things that are out of the pocket, out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Durham is in need of a vocational high school, mm-hmm. for kids that are crashing and burning in these schools where it's the college route.
Okay.
Straight in the, it just doesn't work.
There should be an alternative.
It should be an alternative, okay. high school, or a high school where a child can pick up a marketable skill,
okay.
such as carpentry, brick masonry, plumbing, mm-hmm. something he can do with his hands and go out and make become a productive citizen. Mm-hmm. That's sorely needed. When I went through Hillside, mm-hmm. One of the reasons why I think everybody enjoyed the experience there was something there for you to do.
Okay.
Beyond the academic rigors.
Okay.
There was tailoring, machine shop, auto mechanics, carpentry. Carpentry and brick masonry to the point that five houses that stood behind the old hillside, mm-hmm. were built by students.
Oh.
During their classes. So it wasn't built a model in a room.
Oh, that's impressive.
You built a house.
Okay.
Built five houses.
Okay.
They're still standing.
Okay.
Behind the old house.
Okay.
Behind the old house. So you got that. You had drafting. I took drafting.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoyed it.
Okay.
But there was you could pick up a marketable skill.
Okay.
One that would have allowed you, as I mentioned, to go mm-hmm. on into the world of work.
And so that's, you think we need that?
Gotta have it.
Okay.
Gotta have it. Tailoring, my sister-in-law right now, mm-hmm. made our daughter's wedding gown. She took it to somebody who runs a bridal shop to get something. They said, you know, can we hire you? You know, you've done a wonderful job mm-hmm. with this thing. But she got that formal training mm-hmm. deals now.
Mm-hmm.
I know several folks now that went through their tailoring courses.
Mm-hmm.
Their tailoring courses, mm-hmm. and now that are. Our
wow. Okay. Well, I'm going. We got a record of it.
Got to
some
have
of the
it. Those kids have got to. They want to. Those students want to be successful.
Okay.
They want the finer things in life,
mm-hmm.
but they just don't know how to get it. Given what we presently have.
Okay.
I can't do English.
Mm-hmm.
One.
Right.
I don't know how to read. at the level that I needed to be, so I'm gonna, just going to act out. And then I hit the streets and I got to go out. I got to make a dollar.
Right.
So I'm going to sell a few drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do whatever. Mm-hmm. Break into somebody's house and give me something. I can take the pawn shop and give me something. They're going to make it.
Right.
By hook or crook.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Okay, well, I know you're running out of time. You got things to do. Do I need to know anything else? If somebody came up to me and said, okay, Ms. Patterson, you're going to tell me the story of Hillside because I know you've been talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else I need to know that I don't have right now that I would need to tell them about Hillside? I know it instilled a sense of pride and strong academics, and it offered an alternative to academics. There was something for everybody at Hillside, a community spirit.
Mm-hmm.
There was kind of this history that went through family generations and the whole black community generations that went through Hillside. Do I have it?
You have it.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know, that thing goes back, I'm not sure when Hillside was first founded, but those class reunions, you can go, lady I worked with at Little River my first year, her husband, their class had a reunion last year, I think it was early 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a small class, because I think the Korean War was going on at the time they graduated. If I make the mistake, all of the surviving class members were in attendance.
All of them?
All of the surviving.
Okay. That's incredible. That speaks a lot about how people feel about the school.
They came in wheelchairs, and you're talking about those people. And I think, let's see. What class, what year would that have been? Let's see, 53. That would have been their 50th.
Mm-hmm.
So they were 70-ish.
Mm-hmm.
They were there.
Do they have the reunions at Hillside?
They typically have them in hotels around the city.
Okay.
From instance, mine is, I've already got the thing back in April.
Okay.
But it's in one of the local hotels.
Okay.
A 3-day affair. Start off on Friday night with a banquet, dinner, dance. Saturday, something during the day, and then afternoon, Saturday night, another banquet, dinner, dance.
Okay.
And then Sunday afternoon picnic.
Wow.
Well, we go to church services Sunday morning, and then on in the church.
I might have to come sneak in there. And
wonderful thing. And if you were to look at another crowd, he's meeting at somebody's house to plan a reunion.
Mm-hmm.
Hillside class of 19X is having a reunion this weekend. Big time. And again, that 50th birthday celebration, we were kidding about it. But then somebody put it together. Pulled the plans together and over 100 of us showed up.
What did y'all do?
We had a banquet.
Okay.
We had a dance. I said, just did it up. Celebrate, because all of us turned 50, you know, back that year.
Mm-hmm. That's really nice. Mm-hmm. And I know that there are not
that
any
didn't high happen off.
No, yeah, that didn't happen anymore at all.
In fact, I got a paperweight on my desk. Wonderful, beautiful, with the Hillside blue on, horning on.
Uh-huh.
50th wedding celebration, class of 69.
That's cool. How did people feel when they tore the building down and they moved?
I got a brick.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, okay. People really didn't struggle with that. I knew that it was a liability.
Okay.
But yeah, I got a brick.
Okay.
In fact, as a part of this reunion, they're public. They, I think somebody's made or painted some bricks that they're going to be selling or auctioning.
Okay. Very nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to stop the tape. I appreciate you taking time to
More
talk to me.